My first guest in this edition is Arizona Congressman John Shadegg, a Republican representing his state's 3rd congressional district. He's also a member of the House Energy and Commerce Committee. We've talked to him about a variety of issues in recent weeks, and this week we take a closer look at exactly what the Obama health care reform policy would look like as a result of some of the ideas we're hearing from his advisors and other administration officials, as well as what's being proposed in Congress. And Congressman Shadegg, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure. Glad to be with you.
You are worried that this idea of reforming health care in an effort to bring health care costs down in the long run is actually going to lead to health care rationing. What's the best evidence that suggests that that is the plan?
Well, I suppose the direct answer to that question is the stimulus bill itself. It contained, I believe, $2 billion to research. Is that the right number? I'm not sure of that number. Yeah, $1.1 billion. I'm sorry about that. To do what's called comparative effectiveness research. Comparative effectiveness research is currently used to look at whether drugs are cost-effective, but it's used in the private sector so that your physician can make a recommendation to you as to which drug will be most cost-effective in treating whatever condition you have. And in that context, there's nothing wrong with it. However, in the context of the stimulus bill and in the context of the health care reform that's been proposed by at least some in the Obama administration and some senators on the Democrat side of the aisle, this kind of cost-effectiveness research would be used to have the government say what drugs can or cannot be used or what procedures can or cannot be used. And indeed, here on the House side, language was put into the bill that says that the research would be used to, and I'm going to give you a direct quote, to determine those items, procedures, and interventions that are found to be less effective and in some cases more expensive will no longer be prescribed. Close quote. That is a direct reference to what goes on in other countries where you have a single-payer federal government plan, and that is the government decides, well, this drug is simply not cost-effective for someone of a given age. And I don't want to make it too complicated, but for example, in England, where people come down with macular degeneration, comparative effectiveness research is done to say, well, if you come down with macular degeneration, and it is you are at risk of losing your sight, and you are under a certain age, then they'll prescribe the drug. But if you are over a certain age, they will not prescribe the drug either at all, because you're just too old to merit spending that money on, or, and this is one specific policy they have, they won't prescribe the drug if you're over a certain age until you've lost your sight in one eye. So this expensive drug can only be used once you've already lost your sight in one eye. That's the kind of decision that in America would be made by you and your doctor, not by a government bureaucrat.
So, Congressman, it sounds like basically it'll be a bureaucrat rather than you and your physician that decide whether a treatment is worthwhile. And that sounds like those who have perhaps pre-existing conditions and certainly the elderly are basically going to be given up on.
Yeah, it certainly raises the specter of people being given up on. And in other countries where there is similar research been done and where rationing does occur, it's done on the basis of, well, can we afford to give this drug to somebody of this age with so few years left to live? And you'll find in some of those countries, the survival rates for various cancers are dramatically below what they are in the United States. And the bottom line answer is the government, instead of a decision based on the clinical effectiveness of the drug, they make it based on the cost effectiveness of the drug and the given patient.
How far along is the specific legislation on this, Congressman? And what do you know so far about what the contents are?
Well, we don't know much. There are a couple of bills that have been that are in the drafting process in the Senate. It's not clear whether the president is going to offer his own bill. As you know, he held a rather high-profile session at the White House to discuss health care reform, but I would argue the deck was stacked. Those of us who favor patient choice, those who favor not moving from the current system to a system where you and I have more control and greater choice, were not invited to attend. I believe it's Senator Baucus on the Senate side who is probably the principal drafter of the proposal the president is going to back. That bill has not yet been released. One thing we do know, Greg, is that in the budget bill, health care reform is included in what's called reconciliation. And that means that sweeping changes could be made to health care in America with 51 votes rather than the normal 60 votes. That changes the dynamic for how easily dramatic health care reform can be accomplished quite significantly.
Let me ask you a couple of follow-up questions here quickly, Congressman. Number one, what's their explanation for not going through the normal debate procedures on something that will affect, I believe, is about 1/6 or 1/7 of our economy?
I guess the shorthand answer to that is they don't have the votes, and therefore they want to preserve the option to pass this reform with just 51 votes, even though that's a break from normal procedure. And health care reform was a high-profile promise of the president. Now, I personally believe in health care reform. As a matter of fact, I think the current system is failing too many people and needs to be reformed, but I just don't believe in the reform direction they want to go. But their answer to that question would be, well, we don't have the 60 votes, we don't want to get weighed down, and this is a promise we made, so we'll do it quick and dirty if we have to.
Congressman, let's talk about language here. My guess is that the president and those in favor of this legislation will not break out the term rationing or even necessarily admit to what we talked about earlier in terms of bureaucrats and government officials deciding what's worth spending money on under a more government-involved health care plan. So how can we expect them to pitch this, do you think?
Well, you're absolutely right. Indeed, when the stimulus bill was debated, a number of us expressed concern about the $1.1 billion that was put in the bill for comparative effectiveness research. And many on the left and many in the news media said, oh, that's just hysteria. We would never ration care. Interestingly, the Congressional Black Caucus wrote a letter saying that they never wanted to see comparative effectiveness research used by a government bureaucrat to deny care. So what should we watch for? Well, the buzz language right now is that the administration wants a public plan. That is to say, they want to say to Americans, rather than having to choose between one of the current private providers, we'll say United Healthcare or Aetna or Blue Cross Blue Shield, what they want is for every American to be able to say, well, I don't think I want to buy my insurance, my health insurance, from one of those private carriers. I want to buy my health insurance from the government itself. And so they call that a public plan, and that's one of the major things they're putting on the table. The concern, I think, on the other side of the aisle about that issue is once you have a public plan, there will be a grave danger that the government will stack the deck in favor of that public plan. One way to express it is that if you have a public plan, you will have essentially the government both playing in the game of offering health insurance and setting the rules for the game. So you can imagine, okay, we're going to have a football game between my football team and your football team, but your football team gets to play in the game but also gets to set the rules. That's going to make it pretty hard to win that game.
So it's going to be obviously advantageous for people with the rules set up and the government being a player for them to subscribe to the government plan. If, in fact, folks, though, stay with their private plan, will they be subject to this same sort of rationing and government bureaucracy, or will they kind of avoid that problem if they don't go the government route?
The initial argument is that the private plans won't be subjected to those rules, but I think everyone you talk to says, well, over time, they will either eliminate those private plans or put the private plans under the same rules in terms of rationing. Let me just stop for a second and explain. There is an alternative form of health care reform that I think we should pursue. Right now, most Americans get their health insurance from their employer, and that means they don't get to pick the plan because their employer picks it, and they don't get to pick their doctor because the plan picks the doctors. I describe that as a system with what's called third-party control. That is, third parties, your employer or the plan your employer hired, control your health care, not you. And one way to summarize that is they put your employer and a plan in between you and your doctor. What the Obama administration wants to do is take the employer and the plan out and put the government between you and your doctor. What we Republicans would like to do, my side of the aisle, would say, let's take everyone out between you and your doctor. Let's empower you as an individual to buy your own plan, which covers the doctors you want to go to. And I believe we can do that without any additional cost. If you like what you have, and 88% of Americans do, we can allow you to keep that. Even though the Democrats say they will allow you to do that, I don't think that's going to happen. But we can allow you to keep what you have Or you can choose to not take your employer's plan and, with assistance from the government, if you need it financially, go out and buy a plan of your own choice. The value of that is we will have created a market just like the market for auto insurance or life insurance, or for that matter, for ham sandwiches, where you get to make the choice. And if you like it and are satisfied, you can buy it again. But if it mistreats you and you're not satisfied, you get to fire it and hire somebody else.
Congressman, it's a fascinating debate with a lot of different dimensions. Thank you so much for articulating where you stand on this. I'm sure we'll be talking again soon as the debate moves forward.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Arizona Congressman John Shattuck represents his state's 3rd Congressional District, member of the House Energy and Commerce Committee. This is Dateline Washington.